have to follow thee o'er the mountains rough or across the stormy sea. When I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel, I will lay my burdens down, I will follow thee. Across the stormy sea, when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel, I will lay my burden down, I will follow thee. I will follow thee o'er the mountains rough, or across the stormy sea, and when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel,
I will. How great is our God? Isn't he great? I'm thinking of, we can all be thankful and we can all give him praise. Because I can, there's some people I don't know as much as I know other people here, but I can, if you're having trouble praising him, let me remind you. One song is a roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Sometimes you just got to stop and take inventory of what the Lord has done for you in your life and where you are today. I was telling another pastor's son, I said, there are certain things we can't say because who we are. We're a pastor's son. If we say it, then they'll think our fathers believe it the same way we do. I said, but you know what? That's just part and parcel of what the package the lot was given to me. I don't regret them. I don't regret one iota who I am. And in God and in person, that's what God made me to be. And I accept that. And I look back on my life, and the other day I was sitting in my living room and I was looking at, there's a picture of my family right there in front of me, and had a picture of who now lives in the house, and then a picture of Andrew and Brittany to the side, and I thought, you know, I may not have a big fancy house, I may not have a high education, I may not have $1 million in the bank, but I feel like the richest man in the world. I used to have a man tell me that one time. He lived in a big house right up the street from me. He probably made $250,000 a year. His kids had the new car to drive to school. And he constantly would tell me, he said, Mike, you're the richest guy I know. He told me that a lot. I didn't understand. I thought, man, are you, you know. He envied my relationship with my parents. I could live right next to my parents. I was had time for my family. And I had he knew where I was in church and the church family we had and the closeness I have with all my church family there in the Republic. And he told me, you're the richest guy I know. I don't want to take that for granted. There's a lot of people in Little Rock, Arkansas tonight, North Little Rock, Benton, Bryant, Maumelle, Jacksonville, Cabot, Lone Oak, that don't have what you have tonight. Not only the blessed truth of being in the body of Christ, but this family that we have. You know, the other night, once again, my dog got out. Trixie, she's scared to death of gunshots, and I live just far enough in the country that you can hear guys sighting in their guns. And so she got out and took off. And before I even got home and knew about it, I pull up in the driveway and I thought, why is Zach and Caleb at my house? Nathan was home by himself, and he knew who to call. Who would come help him find our dog? And they did. They stayed there till we found our dog 2 hours later. And Caleb stayed at my house with Nathan, hollered for the dog, come home. And me and Zach went knocking on doors. And we almost gave up. And I said, well, let's try this other house right here. It looks inviting. And the lights are on. We'll knock on the door. And she said, I had your dog. She had seen her almost to Arch Street. And said, we put it on the back porch. Someone must have left it, let her out. So I said, well, we'll top of these other two houses, see if they've seen her. It could be, she could be anywhere. And I knocked on one, and Zach knocked the other one, and the guy said, and I would have never went to this house. There was two old ladies lived together. They wouldn't have called some of the neighbors, because I didn't even know there was a house down this road. And they said, we found this dog. It has a little collar on it, but there's no name. And, But my point is, I won't go into the whole detail of the whole dog story, which I just did anyway, but my son had friends. They said, oh, we're too busy playing Nintendo or talking to our girlfriends, or no, we'll be right there to help you. And that was just a little crisis, but I know no matter what, I've got my brothers and sisters in the church that call them. This world don't have that. Something that's been planned on charity. Put others before you. What a wonderful life. I don't regret not one thing that I've been taught in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. This is a great and a wonderful way. And I do feel rich. And I feel like I'm a child of the King. I am a child of the King. We're all children of the King. We've got wealth beyond measure. You know, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Or how many thousands of hills that have cattle on them. He owns us all. And so I was thinking tonight, how great are you, God? How great are you? How greatly to be praised. He is the greatest one. And he said, you know, I wasn't there when he rolled back the waters. I don't know if I could even really fathom that. You know, what it would be like to pull up to the Arkansas River bank and it just open up and I walk across. I don't know if I can't really fathom that. But I can see the Lord's hand back over my life and what all I've been through. And his hand was over it. You know, brother Roy Allen, who was up in Hannibal, Missouri for years and years and years, he was at the campground and he got up and he was talking about when the Jewish leaders wanted to put together the Bible, the Old Testament, that they were just deciding what books should go in this. And one book they had trouble with was the book of Esther. Because God never spoke to nobody in that book. There was no parting of the Red Sea or fire coming down from heaven or anything like that. Or a miracle, so to speak. Any dead raised? Any lame healed? Nothing like that. The problem, they had trouble letting go of this, letting go. They kept debating it because all those men had lived during Esther's reign as queen. And he said, we know, even though those things are not told in this story, throughout the book, you can see the hand of God at work. And there was a miracle. That was a miracle. That, you know, that... what was his name? Ahasuerus, was that right? How you pronounce that? Huh? Hazarus. He says, I can't sleep. And I'm sure they had herbal teas, that some chamomile that would have put him to sleep, but instead he wanted to. And last night I drank a glass of sleepy time tea. I fell asleep where I sat. I woke up and I'm leaned over. And wondering where everybody's at. he didn't call for any sleepy time tea. He said, go get me the book of what's been going on since I've been king. So the scribe gets out, starts reading to him about the plot against him. And how Mordecai foiled the plot. You know, revealed who was plotting against him. He goes, wait a minute. Read that again. Now, I didn't hear anything about what I did for that guy. So you didn't do nothing for him. So so here, that next morning, Haman's going to have the king kill all the Jews. He's going to have him kill Haman at that time. That's what he was going to do. He's going to have him kill Mordecai. Haman's going to have Mordecai killed. Built a gallows for him. And he said... What should I do for a man who whom I delight? He says, oh, man, he's talking about me. Because I am so cool. And he, so he told, you know the story. But that's a miracle. That's a miracle. But hey, look back on your life. What miracles have God wrought on you? Look back and say, the hand of God was in this. The hand of God was in this. The hand of God was in this. I look back from the time I got married to my wife. I can go back before that, but I'll start there. I didn't know, she didn't know who she was getting, and I didn't know what I was getting. Really, it was just a couple kids. She was 17, I was 18. You think we knew what we were getting into? Not an idea. I could have searched the world far and wide, and I couldn't have found a better bride. Hey, I'm a poet. Let's write that one down. I couldn't have found somebody that had been a better helpmeet to me. I've got 3 children. I've got experiences. God healing my son when he was club-footed. Couldn't fall down all the time. I watched him score a 98-yard touchdown. When at one point in my life, I didn't think he was ever going to walk. It's a miracle. I had 2 wonderful parents that raised me in the fear and admonition of God. You know, my parents, when they came to the body of Christ, my father saw order and he saw standards from right off the jump go. He never required one thing of me. I can never remember one time growing up where he said I had to dress a certain way, wear my hair a certain way, or act a certain way. But he led a life in front of me, that him and my mother both, that made me hunger for God. I appreciate that. I seen them serving God with all they knew and loving me. And I thought, this is what I want, the same thing that they've got. I went through a little experience this year, that in times past I would have really blew up. And you know, this has been a tough year on America. A lot of jobs wise and financial wise, there's a lot of people struggle. I know there's people here that struggle with their health, and I moved down here trying to establish a new business, and it wasn't the right time for that. in this financial times, wouldn't seem. Somehow, I told my wife, I said, somehow, we may not don't have enough money to go to McDonald's, get an ice cream cone, but all of our bills are paid. We've got enough groceries. The cupboard was bare on Friday, so we just had enough money to get enough groceries, get us through. Well, things picked up, but and we're getting to go to McDonald's every once in a while. we went out to eat the other night, and felt kind of nice. But it's not about that. What the Lord said, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. I'm your God. If everything's handed to you on a silver platter, you ain't going to appreciate the good times. I don't think you appreciated the good times enough way you had it before. I don't think he purposed me maybe go through that, but I think he let me go through it. And you know what? I have see things in a whole different light now. I see that things can get, we read America has had a really good ride these last 30 years. With financially, there's been a few little bumps, but financially, America's rode pretty strong, and up way up ahead, there may be you know, we may go through depression or something. I want to be ready for that. And I don't want to go down that road and depress everybody. I want to go about what God's doing. I'm just pointing out what things that God, take a look at what you're going through now. Where have you been? Where's the hand of God been on your life? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe that tonight. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Can you think of the good things that God's done for you, even through trials? A song I sing, it goes, although it took hard trials for me to become reconciled with God. There's been times I've been through a hard trial. And I wondered, you know, at the time I was fighting God. But then I started to see he's not trying to punish me. He's trying to save me. God doesn't hate me. God loves me. If he loved me while I was yet a sinner and knew nothing about him, then why in the world would I get it in my mentality that when I'm doing the best I can, that he's going to hate me, punish me? No, he loves me. He knows I'm doing what I can. He just knows I'm weak. And I've got this little mortal mind there that can't comprehend everything that I'm supposed to comprehend. So he's got to give me lessons. He's got to take me through trials. He's got to get more of this Word of God ingrained in my life to transform my mind. Hallelujah. I love God. I'm glad that he's a patient, loving, merciful God. Now, if he's that patient with me, that loving with me, now, how can I be so mean to other people? Quick to judge, quick to run my mouth, quick to make an opinion or a judgment on something. See, I'm talking about me. I'm this weak. See, I mean, last week I got up and exposed myself, and I got kind of hit over the head for it, and exposed my weaknesses. Put it to you that way, that didn't sound right. But I kind of got hit over the head with it, you know. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't share my weaknesses with the church. No, and I thought about it. I said, no, they need to. They're in the same boat that they are. They're in the same boat with me. I've done this several times in my life. I'm going to share something with you. I decide I need to lose weight. I said, man, I'm getting too big. My britches are getting too tight. My belt's getting too small. So I'll say, okay, I'm going to do better. And immediately I start doing worse. I start eating all the worst foods, overindulging in foods and sweets. I mean, I'll struggle with that for a month. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard of? I'll go just the opposite way. When I say, okay, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do better, I'll get worse. So my wife's smiling because she knows. Rachel's doing the same thing. Me and her, I didn't know she was doing it, but my wife said something. I thought, boy, my clothes are getting too big. I'm going to do right. I'm going to start. And I, you know what? I've just about cut out soda pop. And I was drinking several of them today. And I'm going to stop and give me an ice cream. I hadn't eaten hamburger and fries in 2 months. And all of a sudden, in 1 week, I've ate 10 of them. Big why? I don't want to let go of the something I want, even though I know it's going to kill me. I had a kidney stone, so I said, I am giving up caffeine. Man, I stopped at this lady's house this morning, me and Joelle, and we were on the way to Cersei, but she wanted a bid on a roof repair. She just made a fresh pot of coffee, ground it up, some good coffee. I said, all right. She goes, you want a cup of coffee? She kept offering me this coffee. I said, yeah, I'll take a cup to go. Why not? And in 1 hour, I thought I was going to literally jump out of my skin. I've been off it so long. See, that's how I didn't, when I was drinking coffee and caffeinated products for a long time, I was always wound up and bound up. But I didn't know that's what it was that was making me do that. But when I got off of it, I started calming down, feeling better. I had a cup of coffee this morning, and I thought I was going to, my heart, I could, have you ever heard your heart pound in your ears? I said, I don't have to go. That was enough experience for me to know I just need to lay off of that stuff. It's affecting me wrong. Brother Al can't understand. He's not here tonight. He said, I drink a pot of coffee every morning, sometimes two pots. It don't do me that way. I said, well, I'm sorry. It don't do you that way. You know, it does me that way. I said, I don't criticize you for drinking coffee. Drink all the coffee you want, man. I wish eating something bad would affect me that way. I said, wouldn't eat it. Lord, show me how to overcome without. See, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to start loving people. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm going to start turning a dull ear away from gossip and telling people I don't want to hear it. Can't do it by just making up your mind to do it. And I believe what Paul said. He said, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. I believe that. I don't think you just ought to say, oh, I can't do it, so I'm just going to let God do it all for me in that attitude. But I want to say, I can't do it. As much as I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I want to love you, Brother Daniels. I want to. I don't know if I can love you like God loves you. I don't. I'd be lying to myself. I would love you like God loves you. I'm lying through my teeth. Because you never know. Something may come up and I may say something bad about you. I don't want to. God will work it out, Brother Daniels. He's the only one that can work it out. We just say, God, I want your righteousness. I want it. I see how wicked this world is and how it's being destroyed, and Satan is going through this world like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm sick of devouring and being devoured. It's going to take him doing it. It's going to take us falling on our knees. And I'm not one of these self-loathers. You know, there's some people, I heard this scene, this one guy, why can't Christians just love each other and deny the flesh and take up your cross and follow him? I don't want to be pathetic. You know, that's pathetic. Amen. Isn't it? But I want to be crucified with Christ. Yet I live. I had a thought on that. I don't know how much this is right. Deny thyself, take up the cross, and follow me. My cross should be his cross. That's where I crucify myself with him. And as I live my life, I got to recognize that this guy here, the bravado that sometimes I put off, taking up for myself, esteeming myself higher than I ought to be, that dude is dead meat, worm dirt one of these days. I was telling Cindy, we passed Brett coming up to church, and he had his phone to his ear like that, and that's how I talk on my cell phone too, I guess. That's what they tell me. He said, you and Brett talk on the cell phone. I said, well, they're going to have to build a coffin with a notch out the side for us. When they die, yeah. What was that again?
Because we've got short, fat arms.
Yeah, short, fat arms. Their coffin's going to go like this. Like that. Yeah, well, I, for some reason I can't talk like that on one. I have to stick my arm out there. But I'm not alone. We're in this together. But me and my cell phone are going to go by the way of the dodo. So what's going to remain? Whatever I hid with Christ, wherever I laid up my treasure, that's all that's going to remain. I'm not just hoping for resurrection. I mean, if that's what I get is a resurrection, I've still got to go through this process I'm talking about. But this is joyous. You know, I like the picture of Jesus laughing, the laughing Jesus picture. Somebody come up with that and say, that's a good picture. I just can't see him with his head hung low all the time. How can you love and forgive people all the time if you're walking down with your head low? He had to be smiling. If there's that much love exuberating from somebody, to me there's a smile on his face. I can't see him attracting 5,000 people to come out to see him. If he's telling everybody how pitiful it was going to be to serve him and believe in his name. But he told me it could be fulfilled through him that he'd give you joy, unspeakable, full of glory, beauty for ashes. I'm telling you, the way of love is a glorious way. I'm glad that this body message was founded on charity. It wasn't founded on the four major doctrines to begin with. Now, those were established. Brother Souders was a love preacher. And he taught love. And to love your brother more than what you believe in doctrine. That's what he taught. That's what his example was. Let one guy preach up one thing. While this other guy's burning, give him a piece of apple. when that guy gets up and work on the other guy, I'll give you an apple. I'm trying to show you something. What you believe isn't that important as how much you love your neighbor and how much you love God. You can't love your neighbor until you love God. He puts his love in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just glad to be here tonight. Share these thoughts that's been running in my mind. I need help. I'm pitiful. I am. You are too. No. I say that. Sometimes I've come a long way. I look at it and say, Lord, I've come a long way. And there's other times saying, I've got a long way to go. But I don't want to be anywhere other place. This is the only place where I can get my help. He is my help, my redeemer. And as pathetic and as pitiful as I can be sometimes and selfish and all that, he still loves me. And he said, you hang in there because we're going to work this thing out. Little Jerry. By the way, you got your cell phone working. I got some buckets at my house for you. I saved him, tried to call you, and ain't been working lately. We can come over and get him, or on my porch are empty. I had to get that one in while I was thinking about it. Got some buckets for him. I got them before you kick them. Anyway, let's go ahead and take our needs before the Lord tonight and receive the missionary offering as well. And let's pray for the Memphis meeting. That's where I know six people are. I don't know. I know Brother and Sister Smith, Brother and Sister Weiniger, Sister Tally, and Sister Watson went there tonight. And I don't know if there may be more that went. I don't know. And they're having a meeting tonight through Friday night, maybe, or Friday, I'm not sure. And I may try to run up there tomorrow night. I may have some time to go in there. Was it 2 hours? How far is it? How long does it take to get to Brother? Two and a half hours to the church?
Right.
2 hours, what, to West Memphis, and then another half hour? Okay. That's good to know. Let's just know what time we got to leave. When we get out at 10, we can be home about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that, if we go tomorrow night. Some of us go tomorrow night or something. Okay. Okay. Did y'all get all that? Sometimes I have to pray with my eyes open and look around at who all made the request so I can make sure I get them all in. Brother DJ. Okay, Lord, touch your mind. I know He can. Wow. Okay. Lord, skillfully guide the doctor's hands. Let me go to this sister, Angie Perry. Okay, Brother Tyrone, let's pray for him. Sister Abraham. Michael and Gator. All right. Thank you for your prayer, Brother Sister Crow. Okay. Right. That's right. Let's pray for your sister-in-law. Brother Oates. Pray for the Weaver family. A lot of sickness going around tonight. A lot of sickness.
My cousin Linda Newman, that's Aunt Webb's daughter, she's also got cancer. She is desiring some prayer.
Mark's asking prayer for his house, selling it, and this adoption that they're working on with this little girl in the Dominican Republic, Brother Montgomery. Okay, Brother Eugene's got a decision he's needed to make. Sister. Jobs. Sister Ruth needs a job. Let me pray for her on that. Somebody back here. One of them the same place? A second interview? Two second interviews. Okay. This job situation. Okay. We have a lot to pray for each other about. The ushers will come forth. We'll Sister, Sister Christy Bailey, let's Pray for her. She got pneumonia. That's not good. Christy, baby. Christy's got pneumonia. All right, let us stand. Heavenly Father, we have so many needs that we bring before you, Lord. We love my brothers and sisters, oh God. I ask you to honor our requests that we bring before you. The ones who've got cancer, Lord. Each one has brought them to our kids, Lord. We want to live in their age. You won't heal them, Lord. Let them be graceful. Keep your hand on them. Let them know you love them, Lord. Spirit gone. Ones that are looking for jobs. Oh God, help them find the right job to be in your will, oh God. That's what we want, Lord, is just to ask your will for our lives. Oh God, those ones that got sick at home with pneumonia, flu, not feeling good. Oh God, we ask you to touch their lives, oh God. Touch their hearts, their bodies. They'd be raised them up, they'd be healed, oh God. Decisions that are wanting that need to be made, Lord. Let them be in your will, oh God, that your will be upon our lives. Let them know your hand is upon them. Oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us sell our homes, oh Lord, in Springfield. Help brother and sister Durham sell their home, oh God. Brother Mark Boyd and us, oh God, help us sell our homes in this adoption situation. Let your will be done. Let us know that your is your will, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, we love you, Lord. Adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Wonderful Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God. Different grandchildren, and God, you're dealing with their hearts. So, God, praise God, praise God.
on me because you didn't move. I appreciate being here tonight, and I thought as Brother Michael was, you know, he's already told you folks that I'm in pitiful, pitiful shape. So, you know, I don't have, I don't have to tell y'all about my problems. But I did think this, though, that if he thought I was in pitiful, pitiful shape tonight, he should have seen me before I got started.
You
just
pointed
at her. Do what? Oh, you pointed at her? Well, I took it that it was partly my notation, too. Yeah. There used to be an old saying that if the shoe fits, wear it. And the thing that I found out in life is that there's more than one person wears my size shoe. You know, there's a whole bunch of folks that wears my size shoe. So, but I'm thankful to be here and to be a part of what God's doing in the earth today.
Yes, amen.
That's the thing that I thought last weekend was just, I thought it was just great. I really thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciated it. And there's a scripture that come to my mind there Sunday afternoon, I think, maybe Sunday morning. Just kind of stayed on my mind all the way through Sunday and Sunday night. Blessed are your ears, for they hear, and blessed are your eyes, for they see.
Yes.
I thought, Lord, if nothing else, if we didn't have a thing else to be thrilled about, we should be thrilled over that.
Yes.
Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you know, it's not everybody that sees this. It's not everybody that hears this. You know, and I guess one of the things that kind of brought it about was listening to a station that I like listening to. And the reason I like listening to it is because they got a couple of saxophone players that I really enjoy listening to play. They play almost as good as Brother Curtis does. And the only thing is, I don't get him on the radio on this radio station while I get to hear these guys. But I have to listen to a lot of preaching sometimes in between. And my wife and I were talking about it Sunday coming in, last Sunday morning, that how it is that God has dealt with us, people that are of, you know, no big name, and we're not famous, we're not well known, we don't have a lot of talent. But God dealt with our hearts and brought us among his people and allowed us to see his great kingdom. And he touched our ears to hear the gospel as it's coming forth. And I thought, God, and I told Ann, I said, we're blessed. We're just blessed. That God dealt with us for whatever reason it is, he dealt with us. Other than the fact that, you know, somebody made the statement one time, what in the world did God see in me that would cause him to want to deal with my life? My answer would have to be, I don't see a thing myself that you know. I mean, there wasn't anything here, and there's a song that we sang, isn't it, there, that the young people were singing here the other night, talking about all that I am and all that everything that I am and everything that I'm going to be, I'm yours. Basically, what it boils down to, Brother Mike, I realize I said that word again, but what it boils down to is that God can do something with our lives if we'll let him. I think that Brother Mike was saying that here a while ago, that if we'll turn our hearts to him and our minds to him. I woke up this morning, I think it was, with this scripture on my mind. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And, you know, it just kept mulling over in my mind. I think the band has got to the point where that when they hear me make the statement, I woke up this morning with this song on my mind, they think, oh God, what is he going to do now? But this scripture was on my mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I was just chewing the cud, as somebody said. And here's some thoughts that run through my mind with it. If you get the mind of Jesus in your heart and in your mind, if you get the mind of Jesus in your head, do you know that sinning stuff is out the window? It's gone. There's a reason for that. The reason that I say that is this. Jesus said, I come to do my Father's will. I always do the things which pleases my Heavenly Father. That's the mind we want, isn't it? Isn't that the mind we want? Don't you want to please your Heavenly Father? My Lord, if we can get to the place that we please Him every minute of the day. Somebody said, well, are you an overcomer? Well, I don't know. You know, maybe I am. But if we get the mind of Jesus, we've got it. And that's what we're really working for. And then our minds are being renewed day by day. As we hear the gospel, it's renewing our minds. Brother, when I first heard the doctrine on baptisms, when I first heard the teachings on the Godhead, when I first heard the teachings on the laying on of hands and on resurrections, on the bride of Christ, my Lord, my mind was just, it was renewed. Somebody come along now and try to tell me that there's no resurrection to the dead. They're in hot water. And I mean, I don't even have to tell them that they're in a pan of hot water. You know, I don't have to worry about it as far as that's concerned. I mean, you know, I can tell them, look, the scriptures says there's a resurrection of the dead. Do you believe the Bible or not? You know, but this world out here, they don't know what happens to a person when they die. And they don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. You know? We've got something to look forward to. And death is not that big a bad deal. You know, I mean, it's going to put the brakes on us for a while. But you know what you're going to do? Live to be 969 years old of age like Methuselah? You're not going to make it. It's not going to hatch it. Somebody said. It's not going to take place. But we've got something to look forward to. There's a church to be restored. And, you know, when I first started this thing, I was pretty sure from the teachings that we had at that time that I was going to be right in the middle of the thing when it just bloomed and blossomed. I'm pretty sure tonight that that's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime. But the thing of it is, I've enjoyed working the road. I've enjoyed it. And just because that I come to a stop sign in my lifetime doesn't mean that I'm not going to see the church in its restored glory. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that's going to kind of throw you if you're not careful. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's at the close of this age or at the close of the next one. Whether I'm in the resurrection of the just or the resurrection of the unjust, I'm still going to see a church in its full, glorious restored order. Did I throw anybody? If I come up in the resurrection of the just, I can make the bride of Christ. I can live with him throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. That is my goal. That's what I'm looking forward to doing. But I can't run as fast as I used to. I don't run up and downstairs like I used to. In fact, I can't even run, period. Just be honest about it. I can't run. My running days are over. My jumping days are over. As far as this physical body is concerned, those things are past. But on the inside, I'm still jumping up and down. Because we've still got something to look forward to. And if God brings me back to life in the latter rain church just at the close of this age, in the resurrection of the just, I'm going to have a different body than what I have now. Sister Crow, we're not going to be slow about getting around like we are now. We're going to have energy. Woo! In fact, when we start hearing the gospel, you know, sometimes when the gospel is coming forth, when Brother Leninger preached to us the resurrections, the night he preached those resurrections to us, I was sitting back here listening to him. I had to get a hold of the chair and hold on. I wanted to holler so loud and so, you know, I was so excited I didn't know what to do. I mean, I really didn't, but I was afraid to say anything because I was afraid I'd go miss a word. You ever get that excited? My Holy Ghost was just jumping up and down on the inside. I left here and went home to where Ann was at. Walked through the door, I said, Ann, we've got a better hope than we thought we had. I didn't say hello, honey, or how you doing, or kiss her good, you know, on the cheek. I said, honey, we got a better hope than we thought we had. She said, tell me about it. I sat down at the kitchen table and I went through it, Brother Tally. She said, my Lord, it sounds like we got something to look forward to. Whoo, my Lord, I was excited then and I'm still excited tonight. Maybe this doesn't do anything for anybody else like it does me, but that's all right. I can't help it. I'm just geared that way. I really am. I used to tell people back in years gone by, look, if you push me to the point, you know, you just keep loading this wagon. You keep pushing me. Just, you know, you can keep pushing until, until. When I get mad enough to start crying, brother,